Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We're having some internet problems with the studio. Please stand by. Please stand by. We're having This Is the Right Way Ministry of Kingdom Builders International. We are having some problems here in the studio. Please stand by. Stand by. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio. regular Saturday broadcast of The Right Way. We are having some technical difficulties. Please stand by. Blog Talk Radio, Saturday broadcast of The Right Way. We'll be with you momentarily. We are having internet problems. Please stand by. You're listening to the Saturday broadcast of The Right Way. We are having technical problems. Please stand by. We have an alternate host online. Start some music for us. Let me know you're there.
Allen. God bless you, brother. God bless you. You are awesome. You are awesome.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. The regular Saturday broadcast of The Right Way is having technical difficulties. Our studio page went down on the internet. I can't tell what's going on. I know that we are on the air, so please bear with us a bit longer. We're trying to correct the situation.
So important, people of God, to get into the very presence of God. Nothing else matters now. In fact, I want you to find yourself right in the Holy of Holies. I see His presence. I'm in His presence. While I'm there thanking Him, I know that I have a right. Whatever I need, He will supply. I believe tonight somebody just wants Him to open up the windows of heaven for you. Let it rain. Send down your blessings, Lord. I just need You to move in this place tonight. I just need You to move in this place tonight. He's doing it right now. Hallelujah. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain. Help me, somebody, say it tonight.
Tonight we have a tape in our series on casting out spirits and exorcism. We're going to have a long discussion about it, but I wanted to give you some foundation of some real experiences of real Christians. Last week was the experiences as recorded by Father Malachi Martin. This week we have a husband and wife team who went up against the supernatural on several occasions. So today's tape will be on that topic. So if our alternate studio operator will roll that tape for me. That should run through the end of the show.
Now, I've been reading to you from a book entitled The Demonologist. Musicians, you can slip back. The extraordinary career of Ed and Lorraine Warren. Prentice Hall, respectable publishing house, Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey. Now, most of you will remember, and I thought it was ironic that last night across the nation, not last night, but last week across the nation, they were showing the Amityville Horror. Involved in that were Ed and Lorraine Warren. They were the demonologists, the experts called in. And while he was writing his conclusions, he and his wife encountered a terrible, evil, spiritual presence in their house. Remember that? Whirling black mass. And then I read a few other things that they were involved in. You remember that? And then we started the Donovan House. You remember that? Now, what I've read today is kind of unbelievable. But what I'm going to read tonight, let me say it again slow. What I've read today is kind of unbelievable. What I'm going to read tonight is totally unbelievable. I've read it 5 times. And every instinct in my nature and every academic, scientific, trained, disciplined side of me says, it's a crock. I'm going to read it to you the 6th time. Tonight. Every side of my nature, I don't believe this. And yet, I have spent enough time to find out the reputation of Ed and Lorraine Warren. Now, I have people who watch me all over the nation. And there are a few things I want checked out by the people that are close by. For example, the police come on one occasion. And they witnessed some things. Well, there ought to be a police report. If there isn't, it still won't make the story false. Because I've read a few police reports, and they're not noted for being eloquent in their ability to communicate all that goes on in a scene. And I would guess, knowing that their fellow officers would read it, they probably wouldn't put down what they saw. And I don't believe this story. And yet, all indications that I've been able to find to date, and I'm asking for help from my people who live in the area to check it out, say it's true. Now, paradoxically, I believe it could be true. And I am aware and have witnessed things equally unbelievable. of the things most unbelievable, quote, is that this is coming from the Catholic frame. Now, only nutty people are supposed to be demonologists. Now, here are. Well, it's the oldest church in town. Catholics, they're not fanatics. Oh, we know they burn candles and do things that have deep historic roots, but you wouldn't expect respectable Catholics to believe in demons that move refrigerators and throw rocks at you. No preparation. Mark's Gospel. No, Luke's Gospel. I like it better. Let's do that one. He sent out the 70. Told them to heal the sick. How to treat cities they came to. And the 70 returned in verse 17 of Luke 10. Page 86 if you've got a Bible like mine. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. The word is daimons in the Greek. It's demons, not devils. But, so let's say it the way they really said it. Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Past tense, by the way. There are some who think that he was talking about that scene in Revelation yet to come, where Michael is released to cast Satan out of the heavenlies. This is the original fall. Jesus was there. Here he's 70. Lord, even the demons are subject to us. Oh, come on, you know, big deal. I was there when they all were cast out. Every one of them. I beheld Satan fall as lightning. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now that's where the snake handlers come in. Trying to prove their power to tread on serpents. And over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall by any means hurt you. And people have wondered where the snake handlers get their text. This is it. He didn't tell them to go out and find a snake and prove it. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. And like many people who made little extreme emphasis cultic type expressions out of an isolated phrase, they didn't read the rest of it. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The broader context is, it ought to be commonplace. No big deal that the servants of Jesus Christ have dominion over demons. No big deal. Yet this story I'm about to read, I don't know whether it's so unbelievable or it just makes me mad. The Catholics are outdoing the Protestants. You don't find very many Protestants protesting anything, much less they don't protest against the devil. It's too cold in here, Mike. Now, people are going to say to me, well, does this vindicate the Catholic faith? I've never said Catholics won't go to heaven. That's that other television evangelist. The one that also says, I add to Scripture and take away. I know how we got our Scripture, which is probably more than he could say. I try to get Catholics, just like I try to get Protestants, to analyze their faith and distinguish between what has fact and what has tradition as its base. And the ancient rite of exorcism is very deeply rooted in the Catholic Church. And remember, the original Protestants were Catholics. They didn't abandon everything Catholic. They did what is constantly needed in any church stream. Not branching off, but rather going back to the spring from which the river originated. And though the river may have taken on a lot of added materials, the origin is still that pure spring. Every vital move in the church has been a return to the spring, the New Testament spring. John Wesley built on the foundation of a return to the Word of God the Protestants had restored because the Word had been taken from the lay people. And he uncovered the life of a personal relationship with God that became the foundation for the Nazarene and the Second Covenant Work of Grace people and the Crisis Experience people that became the basis for the Pentecostals and the Charismatics. And every person who digs back and gets a little bit of the pure water defends his bucket against anybody that comes along later and wants to get another fresh dip out of the spring. Now, if I were that other evangelist that says all Catholics are going to hell, I have a lot of Catholics that are king's houses. You don't have to tell your priest. I wouldn't even confess that. In fact, that confession bit is probably one of the weaker traditions. A little harder to find that going on in the spring. See, the spring's the New Testament. Well, I know they have an organic approach to the Word of God. When the church speaks today, applying all of its faculties to a problem and comes forth with the official statement of the church, that's God's word for today. But they have to go back to the spring to find any authority they got. And that confession bit's not bubbling up of the original spring quite so much. Now, exorcism, that's a pretty good bottle of the water out of the first hole. And when Ed and Lorraine Warren ordered that demon out of their house, as I told you, I don't really think the crucifix did that much. Although, had I been in there seeing that black mass whirling around, I'd have grabbed the Book of Mormon if it had been on my desk. You know, just in the midst of everything else, I'd have thrown that one at the mess. I don't really believe that the other things, the crucifix and the holy water, did that much. The cannon he fired is what did it, the name of Jesus Christ. The basis of his authority. Now, we're going to read you a story about demon spirits. Why don't we just read it? I don't believe it. And yet I do. I just want to check it out. In fact, I'm interested enough. If I can't find anybody else doing this, send somebody to check it out. We just hire somebody. Do nothing but go check this story out. I suggest they take some crucifixes and some holy water and Book of Mormon, whatever they need to insure themselves, take the Bhagavad Gita along with them too. I'm going to read it. The basic truth is, I believe in demon forces. If you don't believe they can move with power, that demoniac of the Gadarenes that Jesus delivered would break chains and terrorize a whole village. On March 3, 1974, Mr. Theodore Donovan, age 50, made a note on the kitchen calendar. His daughter Patty's car had just gotten a flat tire on a trip to the drugstore. This is about the only time since I started coming to the festival comfortable. Am I moving too fast? About the first time since I started coming to the festival comfortable that I wish I was here with a clerical collar on and a suit and had my hair properly coiffured. Because when people turn by tonight, and then I wish I had my PhD from Stanford in a frame and a chain hanging on my chest around my neck. Because when I read this story and the stations come and go tonight, dress my presidential way, people are going to think I'm a nut. I've sort of enjoyed dressing casual, talking about high theological subjects. But when I talk on this subject, I should wear a clerical collar and look like the Dean of Notre Dame. But such as I am, here I am tonight. On March 3, 1974, Mr. Theodore Donovan, age 50, made a note on the kitchen calendar. I said that, didn't I? His daughter Patty's car had just gotten a flat tire on a trip to the drugstore. Pouring himself another Sunday morning cup of coffee, Ted Donovan could hardly have imagined that this seemingly ordinary event was the beginning of an all-out siege by violent, inhuman spirits that would begin with acts of vandalism and end in the near total destruction of his small ranch house. Now, I'm not going to read through the Ouija board incident. His 19-year-old daughter, Patty, had started messing around with a Ouija board. I'm just going to read this. This is a Catholic presentation. I'm beginning to teach on demonology. I'll teach it from the New Testament and Old Testament frame. I could have started by reading the book by Lester Sumrall about the girl in the prison in Manila that was bitten by demons and had bite marks on her body in places that she could not reach, had been put in isolation, and Lester Sumrall had come to town. And he requested permission to go exorcise the demon out of the girl. You can check the newspapers in Manila, go to the archives. All I know is that when I used to preach at Bethel Temple, Christ is, or Christ is the Answer Church in Manila, I could get in any taxi and say, take me to the Christ is the Answer Church. And they'd take me there. They knew where it was. I get started with that. But everybody would have said, just another Pentecostal story. And there's so much going on in overkill on some of the networks that seek to be so super spiritual. I sought an introduction to this subject far removed from that frame. Catholic. This 19-year-old daughter began working with a Ouija board. It talked back to her. Is there anybody there? She said yes. And she developed an intimate relationship with some unseen presence that identified himself with some young man that had died quite some time earlier. She asked him his name, and he said he wasn't allowed to do it, to tell her his name. Patty's overwhelming involvement with an unknown spirit soon made her even more curious and impatient. She craved to see him. Write some dates down. Late Saturday night, March 2nd. It's March 3rd, 1974, that her father notes she has a flat tire. Late Saturday night, March 2nd, Patty, using the Ouija board, pleaded with her, quote, invisible boyfriend to manifest. Just once, she told the spirit, she wanted to see what he looked like. I have only one goal in reading this story and others, whether you believe this one or not, and I find it hard. This is my sixth reading now. But I am telling you, these are not nuts. These are reputable people. And I don't know how it could be timed accidentally that after I started on this, the networks are showing Amityville Horror on the TV. It was a lousy movie, but a terrifying incident. And these people, Ed and Lorraine Warren, were in the middle of it, called in as the experts. One of maybe a dozen people in America, renowned for dealing the way they do with demonic forces. Now, my purpose, once again, is to prove up God's Word. The Bible suggests that man used to be very smart and got dumb. Science suggests man used to be a caveman, very stupid, and got smart. The pyramid and Atlantis prove up the Bible. Archaeology proves up the Bible. Man was once very, very, the Dogon people prove up the Bible. Man was once very, very smart and somewhere lost it and is now struggling back. The Bible makes it very clear that there is a dimension of invisible and unseen spirits more powerful than we can ever be, and that we are sort of caught between in a conflict that is warfare between forces of evil personified and the ultimate forces of good personified. Philosophy gives you many choices of what God is like. The Bible lays on personalism, that ultimate reality is personal, personality. And that there is a war between personalities that are evil and personalities that are good, who will ultimately triumph. And they were once all in the good camp, if the Bible's true, but Jesus beheld Satan cast out, and the Old Testament tells us the basis for him being cast out. There are scenes such as the prophet who is going to an engagement with the enemy, and his servant is scared spitless, and the prophet says, God opened his eyes, and suddenly scales drop from his eyes, is the biblical phrase, and he sees the hills covered with what previously had been invisible forces. We read the Bible through in 72 and 82. An angel kills 180,000 heavily armed soldiers in one night. Law. That's just Bible, you know. Things in the Bible don't really happen, you know. The angel hears the prayer of Daniel, but is resisted 3 weeks getting there. Moses dies, and the New Testament says Michael and Satan wrestled over the body, fought over it. Myth. I'm in the business of proving up the Bible. I have only one goal, whether you believe this story or not, before I'm done with all the stories that are available. It's like, you believe all the things that are told about the Bermuda Triangle? Well, I'm not really sure. We got a few of them that are unfinished. But there's too much there to ignore, and why did I read about it? Because I wanted to impress upon you there are some strange things that happen in and around the Bermuda Triangle. You got it. Yeah. Well, there are just too many occurrences to be classified as encounters with unseen, invisible, powerful forces that the scripture called demonic to ignore. You won't find much of this in scientific textbooks because they start out with an assumption that doesn't allow them to include some unexplainable things. Now, I don't know if this happened just the way it's described, but the rest of the book is very credible. There are locations and names. I'm going to check this out. You know, I'll pick resumes from people. I'm going to go check it out. Why are you taking so long to get into this? Because it's so unbelievable. Late Saturday night, March 2nd, she pleaded for him to manifest. Just once, she told the Spirit, she wanted to see what he looked like. The next day, Sunday morning, Ted Donovan went out and tried to start his car. It wouldn't start. Lifting up the hood, he found the spark plug wires pulled out. The rubber hose is unfastened. The fan belt cut. Not much later, Patty tried to start her car too. It wouldn't start either. Finally had to be towed away to a local garage. The next day, mechanics surmised that internal engine parts had been disassembled. That week, other incidents of apparent vandalism occurred around the Donovan house. The back doorbell was torn out of its housing. Foundation shrubs were yanked out of the ground, roots and all. On the roof, a 6-foot cast iron pipe housing electrical wires was unaccountably bent at a 90-degree angle. On Friday, March 8th, Ted Donovan marked one flat on the kitchen calendar. No sooner did Patty get her car back from the shop than one of her other tires lost air. The next day, Saturday, her father made the same entry on the calendar, although this time it seemed the tire had been cut with a knife. In the meantime, inexplicably, by the way, nobody has ever explained those crypts that moved, those caskets that moved around inside that crypt. The government just buried him elsewhere and left the crypt to whomever was in there that didn't like to be crowded. Eight men had to move that one casket. Yet it's... Just remember, I told that story in conjunction with the Bermuda Triangle. Pull it out and give it double billing. I want it in conjunction with demonic activity now. Okay? And that crypt was about like this house is going to become. Only difference. In fact, probably some of these people in this house should have been told about that crypt there in the Bermuda Triangle area so they could have stood themselves up in the wooden casket. They might have been left alone. Remember, one old lady got spared in that crypt. Let's continue. In the meantime, inexplicably, Patty could no longer raise her invisible boyfriend on the Ouija board. Night after night, she tried to communicate, but the planchette would simply move or slide over to goodbye. She had no idea that her ethereal bow had actually manifested in the form of a supernatural vandal. By the second week of March, material damage to the house and cars had become so troublesome that Ted Donovan complained to the police. just dawns on me. They haven't told me which town this is in yet, have they? Just keep watching till we find what town. And it bothers me. Where do these Donovan people live? I'm going to get mad if they haven't told me and start believing, disbelieving it even more. Let's just watch, see if the town ever comes up. I don't see it anywhere. Okay, let's go on. Because I'm going to check with the police. Ted Donovan complained to the police. Man, if this is not true, I think we ought to do a sit-in on Prentice Hall. The all-out siege experienced by a Connecticut family of four. Okay, we got it in Connecticut now. I got a lot of people in Connecticut can check this out. By the second week of March, material damage to the house and cars had become so troublesome that Ted Donovan complained to the police. Now, I want to tell you, I've been telling people this for 9 years, listen to me. There are a lot of demons loose in New England. I've fed them. I mean, I've been there and fought them. I've told you that every city in the hierarchy of Satan's rule as the prince of the power of the air, every city, demons and understudies of Satan have their territory assigned. The prince of the power of the air has dispersed and assigned territories to all of them. As the prince of Persia ruled there, and those earthly kings thought they were in charge, there is a evil prince for every city. From Chico, California, to Memphis, to Springfield, Massachusetts. Any person that studied the history of revivals throughout church history will tell you that no great revival has ever come to any city without a body of people exercising the laws of the Spirit in such a way that they finally break Satan's hold on that territory. And I have said over and over again that one of the reasons why every preacher wants to gain access to Los Angeles, and one of the reasons why that Los Angeles supports just about every ministry that gets into Los Angeles, is that way back there somebody broke Satan's hold on this city. That's why I want, probably won't be successful, but that's why I want more than anything that I've ever wanted since I've been in Los Angeles. I want the opportunity to buy the church at the Open Door, but I'm sure I won't be able to. I'm sure they'll sell it for the air rights for millions and move the church to the suburbs. But I'm going to tell Los Angeles, when that stone front on that church, Ironside and Gee's pulpit, when that stone front on that church down there on Hope Street that reads in the stone across the entrance to the church, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." When a wrecking bar mashes that, the demons that want to control Los Angeles will rejoice. There'll be thousands, just like people in Jerusalem, were unaware of what happened the night Jesus was crucified. When that wrecking ball hits the front of that church, front J. Vernon McGee, I bet you he'll tell you that's the way he feels. When the wrecking ball hits the front of that church, do you have any idea what a party Satan's going to have to see the words crumble? Crumble in order that the great God Mammon, the almighty dollar and king dollar's court, might be served. "Forever, O Lord, thy word settled in heaven," crush. And when those two giant signs, red neon signs that proclaim down through the decades, "Jesus saves," from those twin towers on each side of the church that used to house Viola. Go down with that stone front on the church and that vast auditorium of more than 4,000 seats that has had some of the greatest preaching of the word ever to be heralded forth from the Church of the Open Door. When that crashes, oh, I'm sure the church will be a strong suburban church. But a thorn in the eye of Satan will finally be plucked out. I laugh every time I drive through Los Angeles, because it's one of the last airspaces around over that church. And the glass towers have gone up on all sides that just reflect the sign. Just reflects the sign. Now, it's none of my business what the church does. They have a right to do what they want. I just would like to buy it. I bet you I can bring my King's Houses there. That's why I'm wanting you to pack out King's House 1 now. But my real concern, whether I ever went to preach in the church or not, my real concern is what I know about demon forces. That Los Angeles has had an openness to the gospel because somebody broke Satan's hold. The Azusa Street revival was not an accident. With all the flim-flam of the media, nobody can take away from Amy Semple McPherson what she did. And it's only a carnal media that projects a perfectionism that is anti-scriptural onto its own view of what ministers ought to be. That gives them a basis for criticizing. Her work and the fruit of her work remains. There's a reason why Catherine Kuhlman used to come out here. And I know enough of the history of her work to know the support that came out of Los Angeles. There are other cities, the same amount of effort is like beating your head against a wall. San Francisco is a city where no one has ever broken Satan's hold. Whatever prince rules over that area, it's never been broken. And that springboard of revival in America, New England, once the vitality ebbed, and I'm going to tell you how it ebbed when perfectionist works of those blessed Puritans were substituted for the life of the Spirit. And Satan will come in, always, he comes in under the guise of an angel of light. Now, I have noticed that the cities that are the hardest to break Satan's power are the churchiest cities. I went to school in Oroville, California, both literally and spiritually. That's the churchiest town I've ever been in. The only close approximate is Glendale. But I'm telling you, Satan rules that self-righteous, hypocritical little town. Revival's well-nigh impossible. Satan moved into the synagogue. And I've noticed that churchy towns get that way, particularly churchy towns that are proud of their religion. Because spiritual pride is the one sin God can't deal with without totally breaking it. Now, I love New England. I've proven in the 9 years that I would stay in New England. But I have contended with the demon forces in New England. And the power that New England had for revival, Satan took his lumps once. When a preacher like Jonathan Edwards would preach and people literally hung on to the pews for fear they'd slide into hell, the reality of his preaching and their emotional reactions were so strong. But once that fire was cooled, Satan moved extra troops into that territory. It was the establishment fountainhead of revival for America. And he wanted to cap that fountain over And he did. I said, I'm not surprised that this is New England. Just thought I'd say that. When the law arrived, Ted Donovan pointed out the destruction done to the garden plants and shrubs, the exterior of the house, and the apparent intrusion into a locked garage to puncture tires and tear engines apart. Once he had even heard someone pound on the house from outside. Before leaving, the policeman assured Ted, a respectable member of the community, that they'd keep an eye on the property during night patrols. I just need to catch the folks up that just joined us. Write down this date. March 3rd, 1974, Mr. Theodore Donovan, age 50, made a note on the kitchen calendar. His daughter Patty's car had just gotten a flat tire on a trip to the drugstore. Little did he know that this was just the beginning. Some months earlier, his 19-year-old daughter Patty had started working with a Ouija board trying to communicate with an unseen spirit. She asked, is there anybody there? And the Ouija board, the placenta moved to yes. She carried on nightly conversations for a long period of time. Finally, she began to almost feel as if this invisible person was her boyfriend. He claimed to be the spirit of a teenage boy, a sort of teen angel that had died sometime earlier. Now it's too hot in here, Mike. Curiosity overcame her, and late Saturday night, March 2nd, she pleaded with him, this spirit she communed with through the Ouija board, to manifest. Just once, she told the spirit, she wanted to see what he looked like. The next day, Sunday morning, now, I said to my people before I came on, I wish I was wearing my clerical collar tonight and dressed up like the Dean of Notre Dame. I don't want you to think I'm a nut. I'm in the business of proving up God's Word, and God's Word talks about unseen demonic forces. Jesus came on a Gadarene. A boy in the village of the Gadarenes, demons so possessed him, he broke chains and terrorized the village, and when Jesus cast him out, they went into pigs, and the pigs committed suicide. The 70 that Jesus sent out rejoiced that the demons were subject to him. Jesus said, I saw Satan cast out.
This is the end of side one. For more of the teaching, please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
Now, I want to say, first of all, I'm sorry we had technical difficulties at the beginning of the program, and I want to thank Teresa for jumping in and helping us out. What you've been listening to is a reading by Dr. Gene Scott, the late Dr. Gene Scott. I used to attend his church. I know him well. First of all, he was a man engaged in spiritual warfare himself with his church. I saw it. And he's doing one of several series on demonology, on the casting out of spirits, the possession of spirits. This story he was reading, we know more popularly as the Amityville Horror. Been movies made about it, but this is the real experience that he was reading about. There are other parts. I understand some people had problems hearing and understanding the tape. We're going to try to digitally clean up the future tapes that we use. And this before we launch into a long discussion about spiritual warfare in general. We began with Ephesians 6:10. I did a teaching on it, and I have run programs on the work of the late Malachi Martin, who was an exorcist. He was, in fact, the pattern that William Peter Blatty used in his book, The Exorcist. Father Marin was patterned after Malachi Martin, who was an archaeologist, among other things, and a person who I interviewed on WMUZ some years ago before he died, and I also got to meet him. So thank you for listening. We hope to not have these problems next week. I'm planning to, I'm going to be in Los Angeles. I'm planning to set up another one of these tapes, or you'll be hearing from my wife, Minister Sophia, who will conduct the program next Saturday, as I'll still be in Los Angeles. I'm doing a program for National Geographic, which I will tell you about. I'll let you know when it airs, because I will be one of the people on the air. I did a lot of work behind the camera, but this time I'm in front of the camera. And most people who work behind the camera like I have just hate being in front of it. But I have to do this because it's part, I'm part of the story. So we will continue with this series. We hope that you'll join us in future programs. As I say, we'll try to clean up the audio so that you can understand better. We'll discontinue it if we can't do it. But I just want to remind you that this is the only ministry that offers promotion and mentoring of other ministries, internet radio, and a complete worldwide network of intercessory prayer. Kingdom Builders International is the one. I thank you, and good night.